WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Abortion may be legal, but many people who work at abortion clinics face persistent threats against their lives. In the past 22 months, five people have been shot and killed at abortion clinics by anti-abortion vigilantes. On today's Fresh Air, we'll hear reflections from both sides of the abortion issue on the two murders last Friday at Boston area clinics. Dr. Susan Wicklin owns and is the sole doctor at a women's health clinic in Bozeman, Montana. She's worked in several regions of the country where few, if any, doctors were willing to perform abortions. For several years, she commuted between clinics in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and North Dakota in communities that otherwise would have had little or no access to abortion. I asked her if she's been more alert to danger since last Friday's murders.
Oh, yes. Yes, all of us are so much more aware. We have been all along, but even more acutely now, of who walks in our front door, who's out in the parking lot at the clinic, is there a car following us home, what was that strange phone call we had at 10 o'clock at night. We think about it all the time. I fear for my staff all the time, and it makes me very sad that we have to live like this.
Last spring, President Clinton signed a bill that's known as the FACE Act. FACE is an acronym for Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a crime to prevent people from entering a clinic, to prevent them by the use of force or by threat of force or by obstructing the clinic entrance. Has that been helpful to you?
Definitely. It's definitely been helpful, both psychologically and in a very real sense. Now we have a situation with FACE where if local authorities are not willing to prosecute, at least the federal government does have the right to come in and do it, and in most cases is doing that. I think FACE was a wonderful thing, and I'm hoping that it will continue to be enforced.
The last time we spoke, which was in the fall of 1993, I had asked you if you'd noticed any change in the demonstrations at the clinic where you worked, and you said that you thought that the people who weren't extremists had basically stopped showing up at demonstrations because they didn't want to be associated mm-hmm. with terrorists. Mm-hmm. Is that still happening in your observation?
Yes, it certainly is. From what I can see in here in Montana and around the clinics here, that many of the clinics have continued to experience a decline in the number of daily protesters out front, but an increase in the violence by a handful of people.
Anything else you're noticing that's changing?
I think one of the things that's most disturbing for me is the language that I hear on the radio and TV and see in the newspapers, where they're quoting and repeating what the anti-abortion leaders are saying. That language is coming across our, through the media over and over and over again, and it's very destructive language. And I think anyone who says that the types of things they do, that the stuff that demonizes abortion providers, have to take responsibility for the violence of the people who listen to those words. When I see an article about Paul Hill in the paper and it talks about his, he thinks it was a very moral thing for him to do to kill an abortion doctor, and that's in print over and over and over again, and yet are we hearing anything or seeing anything about the victims, about the physician that he killed or the escort that was with him? How about the two women that were killed in Massachusetts? I don't see much in the media about their families and their lives and what's happened. They've become nobody, and the media or the anti-abortion people have made the murderers into heroes, and that language is repeated over and over again. It's very frightening to me that it's okay to say that. It's okay to say in the media over and over again that it's okay to kill abortion providers. It's real frightening.
I think there are people on both sides of the abortion debate who have expressed concern that new laws, like the law that prevents people from blocking access to clinic entrances, are having the paradoxical effect of leading to more violence, because the old ways of protesting are becoming more difficult to do, so people are doing things more extreme.
I don't believe that at all. I feel like people still have the right to peaceful protest in an appropriate time, place, and manner outside of a clinic. If they stay within the law and are still exercising their First Amendment rights in an appropriate way, they can still express their views about abortion. They have been stopped, we're trying to stop them through FACE, etc., from doing the more violent things. But to say that because they're no longer allowed to do small violent things, that now they have to go to large violent things, is ridiculous to me.
I know there was a man who had repeatedly threatened you, mm-hmm. who is now in prison.
Yeah.
What were the threats?
Oh, well, he was a man that wrote me better than 60 letters. And actually, I had just written a letter to somebody about this man, and I have one of them in front of me, and I'll read a little bit of what he wrote.
Sure.
He started out the letter, "Dear Butcher of Bozeman, how would you like to be slowly suffocated and burned to death in saline? I think it's only fitting that you should feel all the pain that you wantonly, etc. Let's tear your arms and legs off one by one. Let's tear your legs off one by one. Only fitting, one only fitting. How would you like your skull crushed into fragments, tissue, and blood? You should suffer all the torments and agonies of the human beings you murder. Only fair, you cold-blooded, deprived, despicable person. We demand that you stop the killing now. Mike Ross." That's the kind of letters that I got over and over again. He wrote things like he relishes the struggle as things heat up, that he was going to shut me down, that he was going to tear the flesh off my body. Getting letters like that in the mail on a daily basis is pretty terrifying. He is in prison now. He did come up for parole not long ago, and there was a huge outpouring of support on my part to keep him in prison, and we were successful at getting his parole denied.
What would you like to see people in the anti-abortion movement who aren't extremists, who aren't terrorists, do to try to prevent further acts of terrorism?
I think one of the best things that people who are truly anti-abortion but not pro-violence can do is to speak out against the violence, but also to let us know who they think is violent. Surely they hear words. Surely they have some idea of who the craziest people are, of who they're afraid of, who they don't want to be seen with in front of the clinic. And in order to save the lives of the people in the clinic, the staff and the patients in the clinic, if they could speak out and let us know who the most violent people are, who they're afraid of, and when they hear things being planned, they need to let us know. There's people out there who are anti-abortion and who know who've set the fires. They haven't done it themselves, but they know who's been burning the fires down and who's been saying the death threats. And they may even know who may be planning to try to kill another doctor. And if they would tell us, they need to speak up. I think it's their responsibility to help end the violence.
Being constantly under the threat of attack, and now having the thought of these murders from Friday on your mind, is it hard to actually do the medical work? Is it hard to actually, you know, focus on your patients?
Interestingly enough, the one place where I find peace and where I feel like I'm grounded and that everything comes together for me is when I am working with the patients. If we have a busy day and I'm with patients all day long, I do very, very well. It's the days when things are slower and I have more time to think about it and more time to worry about that front door opening that are much harder to concentrate and do things. But no, my peace is in that patient room, and it goes very well. The medical part of it has not suffered at all.
Dr. Wicklin, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Susan Wicklin spoke to us from her women's clinic in Bozeman, Montana. This is Fresh Air.